ever since the beginning of time, starting in Genesis, man had a great desire to understand God. And his desire has not ceased. I don't know anyone, if they were really believers in the Lord, that would not desire to understand God. However, in the book of Proverbs, there are many things, but one of the points that he brings out, it's the joy of man to search out for the king. These three kings that we take time to recognize and celebrate had every satisfaction in the book, but they had a hunger to see the real king of the universe. And they were hungry enough to gather themselves together as a first fruit. You say, what does that mean? Well, if you understand Pentecost, you'll understand first fruit. These three kings, because the word says everything is established in two or three. I believe that there's a day coming soon where the kings of the world will do exactly what these three did. They will bow their knee and come and give offerings to Jesus, the great king. We celebrate it as a foretaste of things to come. But you see, they came from other realms. They did not come from the church of that day. That's scary, isn't it? Because when you realize that these three worldly men had recognized through the heavens that a king was born and traveled, took time out from their busy schedule and their own kingdoms, left other people in charge, and went off to find the real king. They show up at Herod's doorstep, and Herod is so happy to learn that there's a new king that's just been born. He's so happy that these guys took their time and their money, their energy. And obviously, kings did not travel by themselves, so there was much more than three. What about you? What about me? Will we be so blinded by our own self-satisfaction that we think we know that we'll do like Herod? Or will we come as children, ready to be taught, ready to receive? In the past few weeks, the Holy Spirit has been pushing my buttons about the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our... Yes. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and our Lord, Jesus Christ. There's a transition that will take place, and it may cost it may have a dollar sign on it. But I guarantee you one thing, it's not going to baffle the Lord It's going to baffle those who think they're wise in their own eyes. Herod thought he was wise in his own eyes, and he failed miserably. We have many who have what they probably declare superior knowledge. I've got news for you. The children will catch on. The youth of today have a hunger for Jesus much greater than I did when I was their age. I was focused on everything that could satisfy my kingdom of flesh. How many of you can relate? Thank you. God has a hunger in the teenagers today, which I'm blessed about. And yes, they're paying a price, and they keep running back to the Lord rather than searching for a way to satisfy their own selves. I honor the teenagers of today. Those that know the Lord have a hunger to give the word away, not to crumple it up, put it in their back pocket, and sit on it. Be taking a lesson. I desire that you come to me as children, without your head full of your own opinion, but your heart ready to be filled by his mind, his will, his emotions, his way of doing things. So this morning, I lift up the cup, and I declare with boldness that this blood has cleansed me and is continually cleansing me from all unrighteousness and all of these mindsets that say I've got it all. I confess to you, I don't have it all. I don't have it. It's not all there. It's in process. And sometimes I have to take some old stuff out and let God put some new in. Every time I think I got it all put together, guess what? He crashes in with a brand new word that just shatters my religious brain. I don't want it. I want to stay teachable. I want to stay flexible. I want to stay in honor of his plan, not my own. So will you bow your head with me this morning? Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for being strong-willed and thinking I've got all the answers. Let your blood flow over my mind today, that I can have the mind of Christ. It's not unattainable. It can be done. And it was done. For the first 300 years, the church was powerful. It shattered the earthly kingdom of Rome. And they did it in unity as children of the Most High. Give me a taste of it, Lord. In Jesus' name. I believe that when he took the bread, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat, for this is my body. He was giving of himself the very flesh that he had, which was already transformed. When he went on that mountain, his flesh became eternal. It radiated the fullness of the glory of the Father. Come on, perfect time for an amen. Amen. And the same's going to happen to me. If I'm willing to do it his way. It's up to me. Do I want to live another generation with the grave as my option and my selection? Oh, I just want to hurry up and die and get out of here. Well, guess what? There's going to be a resurrection and you'll have to come back down here to rule and reign. So you might as well rule and reign now. Get out of that escape mentality. Oh, death is such a gift. Baloney. Death is a curse. And the last enemy to be conquered is?
Yeah.
All right. And what did he say? He said, when you come to the table, and do you really believe that this is my flesh? Do you really believe that this is my blood? And do you believe that if you eat and take of what I am, you will never die? I still have a problem with that. I still have unbelief that comes up in thought patterns. Am I the only one?
No.
Confess your unbelief. And today I confess my unbelief. I tell you truthfully, there is a part of me that says, how can this be? Everyone else died. Except Elijah, of course. He baffled them all. So did Enoch. And so did Jesus. He resurrected. Lazarus gave us an example. So Father, today, let these elements bring transformation and a transfiguration in their minds, because that's what's needed to be changed. And give them the grace as they come to this table to be transformed in your image, just like you promised, in Jesus' name. You're on.
I asked the pastor this morning, I said, the number 6, that is the number of man, correct? And of course he informed me that it is. And yet there's three phrases, or 6 words, that's the theme in all of Paul's books. And if you go through all of Paul's books, you'll find the same theme recorded. And it's been starting to hit into me the last 6 months. And the 3 phrases or 6 words are in him, through him, in Christ. Highlight all those and see how they pertain. Without those 3 phrases, 6 words, everything else in the Word of God is null and void for you. Because if you're not in Christ or doing things through Christ or in him, everything else is just water under the bridge. There's nothing for you. Pastor?
How many appreciate this news? Would you give the Lord a clap out, please?
So I just want you to bow your heads with me, because we need to go into his word and we want to obey. So Father, give us the word today to understand what you're trying to do in this new year, this new season, this new time slot that you have provided for us. And let the Holy Spirit have his way with this word that I pray will break open something new, in Jesus' name. Yesterday, as I was pondering, there was one word that came in, and it was only 2 Corinthians 5:17, which I know by heart. And this morning, I didn't realize, I went back to the drawing board asking what God wanted. And we're going to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Seth, would you be kind enough to kind of snap the light on next to that door over there? Give us a little extra. That's it. Anybody know that when you say to Seth, let there be light, it works? Thank you, Seth. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, notice how your message tied in, my friend. The Messiah, he is a new creature altogether, a new creation. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come.
DNA.
The new DNA. Now, if you also look back at history, and you look at 12 men, one which chooses to go backwards and go to his destiny, Paul is the added apostle. He says, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, but yet God gave me the job. So now what are you going to do about it? There are times that you and I, when we begin to understand God's grace, there's a transition that begins to form in us. And I was searching the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm listening to these different things. What do you want for this body of believers to hear today? And 2008, the number 8 is a mighty word to the whole body of Christ, I believe, for a new beginning, a new start. And I listened to Joel Osteen this morning for a few minutes. I also listened to T.D. Jakes, and that was breakfast time and getting my wife ready. And so they both had one question that was predominant, and it was, do you want 2007 to be like 2008? And do you want 2008 to be like 2007? Well, I don't want what was there. I would like something brand new. And they both had basically the same message, change your mind. How good are you at changing your mind? I'm not too good at it. I'm getting better at it. But usually I have these mindsets. And I know that we've talked about this many, many times before. And it's been an area that I have tried to get you guys to see, as well as myself. I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. Because none of us have it with the fullness of Christ and the fullness of that anointing. None of us. But corporately, we have more of Him than we do individually. Do I get an amen? All right. Now, let's go back. I want you to take a short little hop with me to Genesis. Now, in Genesis, chapter 11, the whole earth was one language, one accent, and mode of oppression. That's chapter 11, verse 1. Verse 2 says, and as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they settled and dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they had bricks for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered all over the earth. I like that part because already they're speaking about their own future and they're prophesying. And they haven't got a clue. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Now, I know you know this by heart, but I'm trying to give you a refresher course. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. I remember a lady from Washington, D.C., namely Sylvia Williams, who prophesied over me and over the group that was with me for the Feast of Tabernacles in 1996. And she said, Kim, God is calling forth a people out of you. A people of harmony. A people with one heart, one mind. She didn't know me from a hole in the wall. My brother was there with me, with his wife. And I pondered those words. I had them written. I've looked at those words over and over. And she said to me, Kim, there's been abortions. There's been abortions of God's plan. What is an abortion? It's taking away the child that should be born. And she prophesied that there would be no more abortions. That God would definitely build a people. And He would use this mouth to do a part of it. Just a piece. Just a little piece. To do a little tiny bit of changing in some people's hearts. In order to construct them and to make them into a people for Himself. A people he could dwell in. A people in Christed. What am I saying to you? I'm sick of selfish churches. I'd like a selfless church in New England. A heart after God's plan, not a heart to build their own kingdom. If you think it's disgusting to watch, it is disgusting to watch. I see people backbiting each other. I see people trying to make the other person like themselves. I don't want to be like you, and I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like him. And if you don't like it, talk. Verse 6, the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing that they have imagined they can do will be impossible to them. That's what's possible without the regenerated or new DNA. God has built through the flesh of men the kingdoms of the earth. He's in the background, manipulating, pushing buttons, orchestrating. He's not blind to what's going on. Didn't he go down and say, let's go look? Do you think he's changed his ways in these, what, 5,000-6,000 years? What's the number? Important? No, absolutely not. God is still in charge of this earth, and he looks at the men, and he looks at the kings, and he laughs. Psalms number 2. 7. Verse 7. Come. Let us go down there, confound, mix up, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another. So the Lord scattered them abroad from the place upon the face of the whole earth, and they gave up building the city. They gave up. Why? Because they couldn't comprehend each other. Is the God of confusion still in the church? Yes. Is Babylon operating in the church? Is Babylon operating in you and me? Yes. Can it be done away with? Yes. Can it be removed? Yes. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Second Corinthians 5, 5. I'd like to make positive that you put a circle around the word now. Now, 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 now. Not 100 years from now. Not after the resurrection of the dead. Not in the future of the by and by years that are coming in the 1,000 year generation. Wait a minute. Now. He who has fashioned us. Amplification says, preparing and making us fit for this very thing in God is God, who also has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. So then, we are always full of good and hopeful and confident courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are abroad from the home with the Lord that is promised us. For we walk by faith. That is, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our convictions or beliefs respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. Confirming my friend's testimony to you. He doesn't walk by what he sees and hears. He does not agree with his boss, except when it matches God's word. And he might adjust him once in a while. Yes, verse 8. We have confident and hopeful courage and are well pleased rather than to be away from home, out of the body, and be at home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are at home on earth, away from him, or away from home and with him, we are constantly ambitious and strive earnestly to be well-pleasing to him. I'd like to adjust something here. In the Amplified, I believe they put man's flesh thought patterns in there by adding a few things. So I would like you to take your pencil, if you have an Amplified, because it says, on earth, away from him. Is that what your Bible says in the Amplification? Verse 9. On earth, away from him. Implies that God is not on the earth. I've got news for you. He's in this earth. And he's looking at the cities today, no different than he did in Genesis. That's man's flesh trying to make the word of God believe or imply a belief that he's only in the heavens. I've got news for you. He's everywhere. Yeah. So he is on the earth. Or away from home. We are constantly ambitious and strive earnestly to be well-pleasing to him. Verse 10. For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Amen? Considering what his purpose and motive have been, and what he has achieved, been busy with, and given himself and his attention to accomplishing. Therefore, being conscious of fearing the Lord, with respect and reverence, we seek to win people over, to persuade them. But what sort of person we are is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God. And I hope that it is plain, recognizing and thoroughly understood also by your consciences. That is, by your inborn discernment. By your inborn discernment. What is your inborn discernment? It is a faculty of the Spirit of God inside of you. And you're not going to respond like other people. You're not going to discern like other people. They're going to think from the flesh. You have an ability to think from the Spirit within you. If you try to tell them, wait a minute, if you follow this path, you're going to get hurt. They'll not believe you because they don't have your discernment. They can't do it. They are not of the Spirit of the Father. They are of the spirit of flesh. What am I trying to make you understand this morning? I'm trying to give you insight. Don't try to convince someone about God or to shove it down their throats. You're going to drive them away from the Lord. Pray. Intercede for them. Give them a word in due season. What is a word in due season? When Pastor Jay came out last fall, he says, build up. Build up one another. Give a word in season. What is a word in season? It might be a little prophetic word. It might be just an encouraging word. It might be just, hey, you're having a good day today. I'm going to be praying for you. It might be just a little tiny nudge to bring somebody a cookie with a cup of coffee. Simple, 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 sweet things that will change their hearts. Pouring in love and compassion into them. When they haven't got anybody that's dumping anything into them except garbage. Do you listen to most conversations in public places? What is the conversation of the day? Oh my God, my oil bill. Oh my God, my fuel bill. The Lord says, I'm in control. Well, is it or isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in case you forgot, didn't you all have oil or gas to be used to get here today? Oil at home to keep the place warm. Oil here to keep this place warm. Gas in your car, 30-something. Okay? What are we going to do? Are we going to focus on it, or are we going to focus on our supply? Our supply. Okay? If I focus on my bank account, I get what? Teary-eyed. if I focus on the Lord, I get happy. Because he provides according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I had a commission from the board this week. And that commission was to release a gift. And the person is not important. What's important is the impact that it brought. And the discernment that I saw. And I had a small envelope. The person's name was on it. And inside was a little card with a little note and a check. So when I walked in, there were two adults in the room. And I said, I've been commissioned of the Lord to release this to you. And the male figure took the envelope and I said, this is for you to obey the Lord. And it's from the house of prayer. I didn't say that. I said, this is from the Lord and I'm the one that's bringing it over or something like that. And the wife said, oh, I feel this is such bad news. Oh, I don't like this. And I said, I think now you're going to get a lesson in listening to your emotions. And she looked at me with these, like, where are you coming from? Like, you've just handed us. And, you know, they thought it's going to be really something very, very bad. The envelope was unsealed. And then the check was revealed. And the little note was given. And the husband said to his wife, would you please read the note? And as she began to read it, he's wiping the tears off his eyes because he can't read. He's crying too much. What is God doing? He's using some of you and some of me to give to somebody that doesn't know him. To shatter their mindsets. Oh, it's always bad news in this house. And it brought tears. What kind of tears? Tears of joy, tears of hope. Tears to rebuild. And then I got a couple of hugs. Can you believe it? Verse 12. We are now not condemning ourselves to you again. I'm sorry. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but we are providing you with an occasion, an incentive to be rightfully proud of us, so that we may have a reply for those who pride themselves on surface appearances, on the virtues they only appear to have, although their heart is devoid of them. This woman was so convinced that it was bad news because everything that happens is bad news that she was getting more bad news and she was totally 110% wrong. What does that tell you? Was King Herod totally 100% wrong? Were the three wise men 110% right? Yes. 13. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God and concern him. If we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us. Did you hear that? The love of Jesus Christ. What? What does it do? Controls, urges, and impels me. Try it on. Close your eyes. Say, for the love of Christ, controls, urges, impels me to move forward and obey him. In spite of what I see. In spite of the gas pump. In spite of the $3 oil bill. Every little gallon is $3. No. Every little gallon is seen by God. Amen? Isn't that good news? Awesome news. So, verse 15. He died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves. Oh, there goes your kingdom. But so and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now, meaning 2008 on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view. Are you ready? Consequently, from 2008, I estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards or value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint, and as a man, we now what? We have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. This is where the anointing came, I believe, on whoever added those extra words, and they were on target. They were really on target. That part of the amplification is right on. So consequently, 2008, I will no longer estimate and regard anyone from a purely human point of view. I will search the Spirit of God within me. I will search what His plan is until I really have the confirming voice not to obey my cotton-picking flesh.
Amen, brother.
But to obey the Spirit within me to the best of my ability. And God will take care of the rest. For I am a new creation in Him,
yeah.
Not the old. My new DNA is working every day. In 2008.
Woo-hoo!
That's it. That's what he gave me.